Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
Hi, I'm Nathan Atwood, and I'm the senior minister at the First United Methodist Church of Marianna, Florida, and my pronouns are he and him.
Awesome. I'm so glad you're here. Well, we are going to take a look at John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11.
Listen for God's word. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. And Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and he kept the common purse and he used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord.
We're moving right into Holy Week here, right? And yeah. There's just so much going on in this passage.
Wow.
So where do you want to start?
Well, I just think it's interesting to put it in context that you've got the raising of Lazarus in chapter 11, and then you've got this time in this home with these three friends in chapter 12, and then you're in the upper room in chapter 13. And that's one of those things that we sometimes take it as its own story, which is beautiful. And of course, the story shows up differently in the synoptics with different characters doing the same kinds of things. But this time it's those three friends who have just experienced the most crushing catastrophe. And then it's been turned into new life and new hope. And this is the response of what's happened in chapter 11. And that really has been the thing that's kind of been turning in my heart this time around with this text.
Well, yeah, I just got to look at the end of chapter 11 with Sam Parks. And we talked about the way that, you know, this life, it is something that the establishment can't handle, right? You don't get to bring people back from the dead. You don't get to spread life where there has been death, right? We are so driven toward kind of those things that pull us away from God.
Yeah.
And we are so obsessed with them.
Well, and it even says in this passage that the establishment folks are so upset that this power has happened that they couldn't plan for, they couldn't control, that they decided we want to find Lazarus so we can kill him again.
Right. It's crazy. Like, it's his fault that this happened because he got raised from the dead. Like, what? It's insane.
And it's a real thing, I think, in religious life that we've gotten so used to using our resources and our plans to do things that we are practical atheists. Like, we're not depending on God to actually do anything, you know. And I've oftentimes said that we Methodists operate as if the kingdom of God would come if we could just get organized.
If we could just get it together.
We can just get organized. We just need to get our plan, you know, and everything will be fine, you know, the kingdom will come. And in our community, we went through a category 4 hurricane 3 years ago. It was upgraded to category 5 on the coast. It was the most powerful hurricane to ever be that far inland in the history of our country. And it just devastated our town. And there was just no way to help our community without just like making plans that completely depended upon God actually showing up, you know. Yeah. You just had to plan that a team was going to go help somebody who was stuck in their house, you know, get the trees out, and not know who was going to show up to do it. But you had to put it on the calendar, you know.
Right.
And it happened. I like this passage for a lot of reasons, but you've got like 3 different pictures in the three siblings here of folks who have responded after God gave them a new day when the worst thing had happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I was preaching this, and I had a weird way of dealing with the text this past Sunday, I was just helping people to think about how many times we've had one of those nights in our lives where it just doesn't feel like the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, like the thing that you always feared happened. The thing that you said, oh, if that, you know, you had the anxiety about like, oh, if this happens, then it's all over. And then it happens.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like whether it's a death or a betrayal or a personal failing or, you know, prison, divorce, whatever it might be. It's just like you have those nights where you're like, oh, it's all over. It's done.
Right. It's done.
It's done. This is it. Ball game.
Yeah.
And then the sun does come up, and then you can look back a couple of years later and be like, I've been brought back from the dead, you know. And if you can really think about how Easter's function in your life, it makes you a different kind of disciple. So you got Martha, who is serving, and I don't think that the serving here is put in a somewhat negative light, because that happens in Luke, you know, where Mary's chosen the better part. But that's right. Luke's telling. That's not here, right? And
yeah.
In this one, I mean, it just says that she serves, and then it says that Lazarus sits with him at the table. Now, in the next passage, the disciples are going to be with him at the table, even though John doesn't tell us about the institution of the Lord's Supper. He talks about the washing the feet, but still, sitting at the table is really super important.
It is.
It's a shared life. It's a family.
Yeah.
So,
and there's Lazarus, right? Like, and, you know, we get a glimpse of Jesus's heartbreaking over Lazarus's death.
Right.
And then there, like, this beautiful picture of restoration, which is what we all hope for and what the hope of the gospel is. Right. And it's almost like, so, you know, we go into Holy Week on a high.
Mm-hmm.
We're hosannaing and celebrating, and then things get bad. But you can kind of see the way that this high, this like Lazarus is there sitting with Jesus, Martha's there, like making sure that everybody can be a part of this meal, and yeah. Mary is doing her part in anointing Jesus's feet, right? This is a beautiful picture. And then you've got like, even so, right? Those bad actors are still there.
You've got death and resurrection in the past. And then it's coming up on Holy Week. So you've got death and resurrection in the future. So, and you've got death and resurrection in the story, because they're celebrating the fact that they're together, and she's anointing his feet for what?
For burial.
Burial. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like three ways of thinking about discipleship in these three siblings who, like us, are living in between memory and hope, you know, between the past and the future. And there's suffering and death, and there's Easter in both places.
Right.
I think
that's really, it's the good stuff.
It's one of those things, you know, that it's a story that's got such a beauty in itself that there's some things that are beautiful enough that they're kind of beyond description. You know, yeah. Like if they lose something in the explaining.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, you know, that she's done a beautiful thing. You know, well, no, it's in the other passage. It's in the synoptics. It says what she's done, she'll be remembered for it.
Will you pray for us?
Yes. Gracious God, we thank you that you have let the sun come up on our darkest nights. And so, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise as we enter into a season where we remember when darkness stretched across the earth and all hope was gone. And we also anticipate a new beginning and a miracle, for we need one. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.